the Money Mamas, the podcast on salary negotiations. I am Money Mama Zonder Saucer, and with me today, I have a few friends, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. This is Kendace Jackson. I'm very excited to be here this evening, and I work in higher education administration. I am also the COO of the Authors Leverage.
Hey, everybody. This is Emerald Chauncey. I am a flight attendant for a mainline airline, as well as safety and security expert. Nice to meet you guys.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Colleen Francis. I am in education. I'm an educational administrator at a nonprofit in Bethesda, Maryland.
Hi, everyone. My name is Antoinette Gross. I'm a program analyst for the federal government and also a realtor.
Hi, everyone. I am Fabro Kechuku. I am a graduate student, but prior to that, I had 8 years in corporate America. I'm happy to be here tonight.
Thank you all for joining me today. Let's get right into it. Smart salary negotiations. Negotiating salaries can sometimes be uncomfortable conversation for some people. Not me, of course, y'all know that, right? Whether you are in the process of interviewing for a job position or have just received a job offer, understanding the methods to negotiating a starting salary can help you establish your financial needs while remaining poised and professional. We have 13 tips to help you prepare for salary negotiation. One, start by evaluating what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. It is important you know exactly how much value you can offer an employer before you begin the process of negotiating a salary. There are several factors that can influence your compensation, such as geographic location, years of industry experience, years of leadership experience, education level, career level, skills, licenses, and certifications. When you begin your salary negotiation, make sure you do this, to reiterate why you'll be a valuable employee and consider using the above factors to justify your desired salary.
Agreed.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to ask you, has any of you used any of those factors just mentioned to negotiate for a job? If so, give examples.
Yes, I definitely, this is Kendace, I definitely used most of those factors to negotiate a higher salary. One, because sometimes, you know, as a millennial, you'll come into a position and there'll be a counterpart who literally has been there for 30 years, 20 years, 30 years. And so even though you may not have been in that job or have that many years of experience, you do have the education and more current insight into a particular industry and just varied experiences that you can use to negotiate a higher salary. And that's what I've done, especially with the education level as well. I think you have a benefit for most companies to have people with experience and time served, as well as people with the advanced degrees in, you know, as a part of the workforce as well.
Yeah. And I'll just add in me working in the accounting industry. A lot of times licenses and certifications play a big part in getting more for what you want. So that's a good part for, you know, for accounting area, licenses and certifications. So the next tip we have is research the market average. Having this data can help support a more successful negotiation. Knowing the market value, market average, can give a good baseline for your salary request and can even be used as justification.
Some questions. Hey, everybody, it's Emmy. Just want to throw it out here. Some questions you can consider as you begin your market research. For example, first, what is the national average salary for the position that you're applying for? Mm-hmm. You want to know kind of the high end and the low end for that position. Another one is, what is the average in your location or in cities nearby? We all know that the East Coast is going to probably make a little more than maybe the Midwest or the South.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, another good one is how much do other companies in your area pay employees in the same position?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. A free tool is Indeed's salary calculator to get a personalized pay range based on your location, industry, and experience. So it's something free that you can use if you need that information for a job that you're looking for.
Yes, and Glassdoor also helps with a lot of those questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We use that as well. Okay. The third tip is prepare your talking points. As you're developing negotiation notes, it might be helpful to answer the following question as a framework for your conversation. Why do you feel you deserve a higher salary than the one the employer is offering? You know, put together a few talking points before you contact the employer and be as specific as possible. Those details might include information like results you've achieved in previous roles as goals you've met. And if possible, use actual numbers. Also, years of industry experience, particularly if you have more experience than the employer stated as a minimum requirement. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah, that's good.
Because like, I can say I have 32 years and the position only requires 1 year. So right. That's a good example of that. Also, skills of certifications, especially if they are in high demand within your industry. Average salaries being offered by other similar or employers for similar roles. The next tip we have is schedule a time to discuss. Reach out to the recruiter or hiring manager to set up a time to speak over the phone. While it's acceptable to negotiate over email, it's highly encouraged for the conversation to happen over the phone. Speaking over the phone or in person allows you to have a back and forth conversation, express gratitude, and clear to communicate your requirements. And when I talk about money, I want to be clear. Be respectful and clear as a recruiter or hiring manager will be the ones advocating for your salary to the decision makers.
Yes, I definitely agree. In my actual role in higher education, I'm the director of employer outreach and I oversee legal recruitment as well as employer outreach. So these are the kind of conversations I typically have with my law students who I'm helping to find their next job after graduation. And so I totally agree. Scheduling a call sometimes to talk to people who are either already at that company or people who may be alumni that may know that industry a little bit better is really helpful sometimes to just have that conversation over the phone because as a lawyer, you know how important it is to put things in writing. But if you really want to get the real tea, people will really be honest about, well, this is what I actually started off making, but because I did X, Y, and Z, I was able to get bonuses or because I have time served, I was able to get this advantage. But again, for most things, there are ways in which you can definitely either gain ideas from that employee about how to negotiate, who you need to talk to, what you need to say and or include in your application documents or even just in your interview that can really allow for that conversation and the messaging to be clear about what those salaries are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I definitely prefer talking versus emailing. Emailing almost feels like texting. So let's talk.
Yeah.
A lot of times during texting and emailing, ideas and the meaning behind some of those words can get kind of convoluted. So it's best to just pick up the phone and speak. You can answer all the questions that you'd like, as Kendase said.
Awesome. Interesting.
Yeah. So the next tip we have is rehearse with a trusted friend. Practicing your talking points can help you gain confidence and identify areas of improvement. The best way to practice would be in front of a trusted friend or colleague that can provide helpful feedback. They'll be honest.
Another idea, guys, I'm glad you said that, is you can also try recording your conversation in a camera or speaking in front of a mirror. This step, it's so important because when you're talking about money, you can feel uncomfortable sometimes, but the more you practice, I really truly feel the more comfortable you'll feel when it comes time to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Zonder, you're pretty good, good with that because you love the mirror.
Don't put my business out there, Colleen. Thank you. But she's right.
And it's helpful to definitely see what you look like when you are saying some things. Sometimes we make faces. I'm super expressive. So I have to be mindful of what I'm saying when I'm trying to deliver a certain type of message.
Mm-hmm. And even when you're talking, some people use their hands. And sometimes a hand can be a distraction. So if you're using your hands too much, you might want to ease off of that. So
wait, really? Always use my hands and
I use my hands as well. So
yes, I do as well.
But I keep them kind of limited. It's not like grandiose gestures. I keep them kind of limited.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. You know, do it within reason, you know, not, you know, beating someone over the head, you know, moving and shaking and, you know, be like, that person is right.
About to so more natural body gestures.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, another tip we have is be confident. Delivering your negotiation with confidence is as important as the words you say. The more confidence you convey, the more confident the employer will be in their consideration of your feedback. Confidence and appreciation of your own abilities and qualities should not be confused with arrogance and exaggerated sense of your importance. Lack of confidence can also result in over-explaining or apologizing for what you're asking for, neither of which is helpful in a negotiation scenario. Instead, confidently and simply state your requested salary, including a brief summary of your reasoning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. You should also try to remember that you're bringing an important set of skills and experience to the organization. So the pay an employer offers should account for the value that you provide. So if you feel the employer's original offer is below the value that aligns with your skill and experiences, should be prepared with researched market salary, as we spoke about in a few numbers above, and personal value data that supports your ask. Don't forget to be confident in your decision to ask for more. Don't worry about it. Ask for more.
Yeah, that's important to not be afraid. Good. You have to be bold. It's what you want, so you need to be bold about it. And, you know, you're a better advocate for yourself than anyone else, so be bold about it and be confident.
That's true.
Another tip, lead with gratitude. Once you reach the job offer phase of the hiring process, you've probably invested a great deal of time and energy applying and interviewing for the position. The employer has also invested time in the process. So it's crucial you recognize this and thank them for considering you for the opportunity. Be sure to share any specific reasons why you're excited about the job, such as the culture or the product.
Hey, y'all, it's Favor. And, you know, to just add on that point, especially with my generation and with Gen Z, like, even if you end up declining the offer, I think it's so important to be as friendly and professional as possible, because truly, you never know what other opportunities could just be available to you in the future, or could just come out of that whole interaction. So that's just something that I definitely wanted to add in there.
As they always say, don't burn the bridge. Cross it again, something like that. So, you know,
in the Caribbean, we say, don't throw away your stick before you climb up the hill.
That's a good one. I might have to remember that. Right. Okay. Also, another tip would be ask for the top of your range. One fundamental rule of salary negotiation is to give the employer a slightly higher number than your goal. This way, if they down, you'll still end up with a salary offer you feel comfortable accepting. If you provide a salary, it will likely go on the lower end, so the number you provide is still in an amount you feel is fair. Another tip number 9, share job-related expenses you're incurring. Another reason you may ask for increased salary is to cover any costs you're accumulating by taking the job. For example, if you're relocating to a city for the job, you'll have to pay moving expenses as well as any costs associated with selling or leasing your current home. If taking a position further away, you'll have to factor in commute expenses such as train fare or gas and wear and tear on your vehicle, and also the parking, because if you're parking anywhere in downtown, you know, it starts from $25 and up. You have to walk 10 blocks to get it for $15. So if it's not unusual for candidates to ask employers to adjust the salary to account for expenses related to accepting the position.
Right. That's totally how I've worked it over the years. Because, you know, now we're in a different time period and a different era, because there is so much hybrid offerings with new jobs, and even with current jobs that people are currently hold. A lot of people, this is a time of the great resignation. A lot of people aren't going back to an in-person 5-day-a-week position if they can help for a multitude of reasons. One, they were still effective working from home. Two, the commute, they can save some money there. And as a result, there are some employers that are saying, well, we're not asking you to come into the office. So some of these salaries are looking a little different. But I do think, you know, considering the commute, considering really what is a reasonable expectation of time that you want for me to work. Because honestly, a lot of people are working harder from home than they would if they were actually in the building. And so, like you said, the parking in major cities or even the commute, all these fees and gas prices. Let's not talk about gas prices. Let's not talk about gas prices. So, I mean, just kind of factoring in those things. So I know for my job right now, we have an opportunity to work one day in the office and 4 days at home. Cool. I'm saving on gas. I don't have to pay for the monthly parking, but I still get my discount. That's a benefit to me for the job. So when it came to, you know, salary negotiations or things of that nature, I considered all of the benefits that also came with the role, because those are things you really have to look at holistically. Because, you know, quite naturally for most jobs, most employers, there's going to be a certain percentage of an increase in salary each year. So you're going to, if you're $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 off, that's coming to you just naturally, as long as you maintain the job. But those other benefits like parking or insurance, or vacation days, depending on your lifestyle and what's going on, that might be the flexibility that you really, really, you know, value and need.
Right. One of the things that made me think about was for the federal government, in my agency, one of the things, because sometimes we can't negotiate the salary no more than what it is, we offer the payback program for student loans.
Right.
And for every $3,000 that they give you, you have to stay a year or something to that effect. And so a lot of people have taken advantage of that. And one of our employees has been there for 15 years and her student loan is down to like $2,000 and it was really high. It was
wow.
So she's been there and paid her years and she's been there extra years. So even if, you know, she had needed some more, but I mean, it's paid off because I think it was paid off like 2 years ago. So I made sure, you know, that my employee, she did good work. I was like, hey, this money is out there, apply now so you can be one of the first to get it. So that was a good thing for that.
That's nice.
That's an excellent incentive.
To make up for salary because complaining about the interest on it alone is more, you know,
oh, absolutely. And working in higher ed, you know, you get benefits typically of getting like free degrees for you or your dependents. So that's a benefit that helps people out too.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. And
this is Antoinette. Oh, yeah. So for the federal government, I know they have a lot of incentives. So that is a great place to work. I've been there for years and I love it. So they'll pay for college and everything. So I am very blessed.
Well, yeah, that's good because some agencies really don't pay for that, because a lot of times if like for me, because I'm in accounting, if they want to take accounting classes, some of our secretaries over the years have taken accounting classes and become auditor assistants and then became full-blown auditors because we pay for them to take those accounting courses and meet those hours so they can be an auditor. So, we do have benefits in the federal government. The 10th tip we have is prepare for tough questions. Recruiters negotiate often, so they will likely be prepared to ask important, sometimes intimidating questions to figure out your motivations. It's important not to get rattled by these questions and to remain honest. What are some questions they can expect the employer to ask?
For me, some of the questions that I personally asked were, are we your top choice? The second one is, if we come up in salary, will you accept this position immediately? And third, do you have any other offers?
Those are tough questions. Yeah, I agree with that. Those are tough questions. And you have to be really on your toes to answer these questions, too. Yep. Those are good questions. So the 11th tip is we offer is be flexible. Even if the employer is unable to provide the salary amount you want, they may be able to offer other forms of compensation.
Yes. This is Favor again. So for example, you may be able to negotiate, you know, stock options. As you know, that's like the new buzz right now with people. So I think that's a good thing to negotiate, as well as trying to ask for extra vacation days. For me, I know I'm looking for a sign-on bonus or like additional work from home days to combat like a lengthy commute because, as Candace said, these gas prices are ridiculous. And also, too, with that being said, like, you know, be ready to ask for alternatives in a situation where the employer immediately lets you know, they cannot increase the salary offer for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And there are some cases, you know, that they may just be as valuable or more than a paycheck. So I think that, you know, it's good to just weigh all your options.
Yeah. And like I said before, that student loan payoff was more important than the salary increase. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that was more important to that person. For me, it wouldn't be anything because I didn't have a student loan, thank God. But, you know, that wouldn't have been a selling point for me. So right. It depends on where you are.
Right.
A 12th tip is ask questions. If the person you're negotiating with seems surprised, reacts negatively, or immediately rejects your counter, try to remain confident and calm. Meet their reaction with open-ended questions to find out more information and keep the conversation going. Examples of questions include, what is the budget of this position based on? What need from me to make a decision? Are there other negotiables available besides salary? Those are questions that you can ask, so be mm-hmm. prepared.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
A 13th tip is don't be afraid to walk away.
Yes.
I know that'll be hard because some people need a job and don't have a job. But yeah. if you have one, you know, it might be a little easier, but don't be afraid to walk away. In some cases, an employer may not be able to meet your minimum requirement, salary requirement, or offer additional benefits that make it worth your while. Or the employer may counter offer with a salary that's higher than the first offer, but not as high as your request. In this case, you'll need to decide if the job is worth the lesser amount. If it's less stressful than your current position, closer to home, or offers you more flexibility or more free time, you may be open to taking a lower salary. However, if not, you should consider walking away and seeking other opportunities elsewhere. Has any of my guests here had to walk away? If you did, please share.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I'll do it again. I think there comes a point for anybody when they not even reach a certain point in their career, but there's just a point when you get to know yourself in terms mm-hmm. of, mm-hmm. you know, of course, you know your value, you know what you want to earn, what you need to earn, most importantly, in order to survive. But it's more so you knowing your value. And kind of once you establish that, you have to weigh the pros and the cons. If I'm working somewhere and they're paying me a lot, but my quality of life is horrid, but the quantity is there. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a designated timetable for that position.
Right.
If I, you know, and I have been someone that I've walked away from a really great working opportunity financially to go somewhere where I had mental peace and clarity because it was mm-hmm. just a more healthier environment. And honestly, for me, I know I'm not someone that works well, whether it's in community service organizations, whether it's in the professional realm, where I feel like I've reached the pinnacle. I never personally want to peak. So if I feel like I've peaked in a position or in a location, I personally know that my mind says you have got to go and grow somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think it's easy to, I think it's, once you get to, once your mind says go and you start feeling uncomfortable, that's when you really need to go because you should be working and doing things, whether you love it or not, that provides you with a level of, you know, peace and accomplishment and where you feel valued. If I feel valued somewhere, I'm going to stay. And the money, you know, quite honestly, may be whatever it is. But if I'm not feeling valued somewhere, you're going to have to give me something. Give me the money so I can enjoy my life on the weekends and have a good quality of life with something. But you have to, absolutely. Yeah, there has to be some give and take there.
Yeah.
So I too had to walk away. And actually, this is Colleen. So mine was a little bit after getting my feet wet, as Candace said. So when I graduated from undergrad, I came into the work arena at a time when, you know, there were barely any jobs. And I was actually looking to get back into the government. I was an intern before. So I had to take a position at a luxury retailer that I really didn't want to take, but hey, you've got to work, right? We have bills. Mm-hmm. We just mm-hmm. graduated from school. And so, you know, I spent some time there and when the opportunity presented itself for me to enter a force where I received my bachelor's, then that's what I did. Now, I'm not lessening my experience at the luxury retailer at all. I think every young person should definitely experience retail, as it gives you a lot of customer service. And in any job, you need to be personable. You need to know how to talk to people, especially difficult people in different difficult situations. So yes, I walked away, you know, for a better pursuit and, you know, what I majored in.
Oh, well, that was good. So walk away. So we see we have some bold people that aren't afraid to walk away. That's good. That's good. This has been a great discussion on negotiating salaries, and we hope this has been most helpful to someone. Thanks to my guest today, and thank you, my listening audience. Money Mama Zondersaucer signing off. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. We, the members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Xi Zeta Omega Chapter, thank you for joining us in listening to Money Mamas, the podcast. It is our pleasure to host season 3 of this financial literacy series to empower our community. This podcast falls under the Build Our Economic Wealth initiative of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Soaring to Greater Heights of Service and Sisterhood Administration. I would like to thank the creators and host of Money Mamas, the podcast, who are members of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Monica Miles, Lornia Bowie, and Zondersaucer. This event is proudly sponsored by the Ivy Foundation of Washington, D.C.